Thank you for choosing this podcast. It's our pleasure to share with you the word of the Lord. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Join us as Pastor Jim Bunch shares God's word with the people at Christian Outreach Center in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Well, the title of today's message, as I said just previously, is Can You Hear Me Now? Matthew chapter 13, it's often called the parable of the sower, the farmer sowing seed. I liked the title, Can You Hear Me Now? Because remember that cell phone commercial where the guy would say, Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Obviously, it's about reception. Are you receiving the signal? So, I have a message to bring to you this morning. How is your reception? Can you hear me now? As we study this parable of Jesus this morning, we're going to discover that there are four types of hearers. Four types of hearers, illustrated in the parable by the four types of soil. I wonder if anybody can help me out just a minute this morning and recall from memory the four types of soil. See if you remember these. There are the pathway, or as some may call the byway or something, soil. There is the rocky soil. There is the thorny soil. And then there is the what? The good soil. And so this morning, the question that I pose for you is, can you hear me now? Can you hear Jesus? Can you hear the Word? Is it getting through? Shall I say to you this morning that the point of my message is that if you are not hearing the voice of Jesus, if you are not hearing the Word of God, the problem lies not with the Word and not even with the messenger. Whether it be preached, whether it be written, or whether it be sung to you in a gospel song, the message, the Word of God, will produce fruit in your life if it's getting through, if you're hearing. So then this morning, if you would, look in your Bibles and let's begin at the very first part. And what I'm going to do is read a part of it and then interpret it. Actually, Jesus Himself interprets it. So look, if you will, at verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. I love that picturesque setting, the way Matthew describes it. How many of you would like to be sitting by a lake this morning? Well, maybe not this morning, huh? Perhaps on a Sunday when it's warmer. A large crowd soon gathered around Him, so He got into a boat. Then He sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath. King James will say wayside. And the birds came and ate them. Now, if you look at Luke chapter 8, which is the parallel in Luke's gospel to this account from Matthew, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, and I will be going back and forth if you want to put your finger in Luke 8 and just hold on to it. In Luke chapter 8 verse 11, it reads this way. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Now I want you to get that right up front so that you understand the different parts of the parable, what they are analogous to in the real natural realm. A parable is simply a story that is laid alongside a spiritual truth to bring out or illustrate that truth. A basic rule of interpreting Scripture is don't try to make a parable walk on all fours. In other words, folks, don't try to make every single detail of the parable represent something in the spiritual realm. That's an error in Bible exegesis or interpretation. Go for the central main thought. The rest of it is just furnishings to make for a good story. So then, what is the interpretation of this phrase, this verse that we just read, Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 19. Listen to what Jesus says. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. I love it when Jesus gives the interpretation, don't you? He said in verse 19 of Matthew, "The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts." Luke 8:12 says, "And prevents them from believing and being saved." So, the interpretation basically is that's given by Jesus is there are people, I believe he's referring to the unsaved people. People who are unsaved hear the message, but the enemy in the form, in this example represented by the birds, comes and steals away that which was planted. Now, if it is the unsaved hearer that we're talking about, here is the application. The unsaved person has a responsibility for the condition of his heart. Because when we're talking about hearing, we're talking about your heart, not your ears. See, the real problem may not be your ears, but your heart. What is the condition of your heart? And what he's saying here is, if you were raised in the country, or if you've ever walked a footpath, you know that the more you walk that path, the harder that soil becomes. Now, nothing's going to grow there. So if you throw some seed down there, it's just going to bounce off to the side. And of course, the birds come along and pick it up. So what he's saying is that the unsaved person, if their heart is hard and the seed is sown, it won't take root. It won't even have a chance. The enemy will come along and take that seed, that word, away. So the unsaved person, when they hear the gospel, if they harden their heart against the gospel and they do that enough times, it's not going to penetrate. It's not going to do anything in their life. And Jesus said a little later in verse 13, he said, "That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand." We know that people can become so enamored with this world, they don't realize their need of a Savior. Jesus said this was actually a fulfillment of prophecy. He said the prophet Isaiah talked about this type of hearer a long time ago. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10 when he says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." So unsaved person, when you hear the gospel, do not harden your heart. Do not continually resist the Holy Spirit and turn away. Because he says the time is going to come when you're going to miss out totally. So if you're working with someone that's unsaved and you're telling them about Jesus, pay close attention to their heart. Not so much their head, but their heart. Are they hardening their heart against the message of the gospel? Pray for them. Pray for them that the Holy Spirit will soften their heart. As the old saying goes, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the heart. The responsibility of the condition of the heart lies with the hearer. Let's read on. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 5, we have another type of hearer. That was the wayside or footpath hearer, representative of the unsaved person who hardens their heart. This is the seed, it says in chapter 5, fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. This is a shallow soil hearer. It says the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Notice in every case, It's the condition of the soil that determines the outcome. Same seed, the Word of God. Like I said, it doesn't matter who is sowing. It ain't got a thing to do with who throws the seed out there, whether it's spoken, written, or sung to you. It doesn't matter. The responsibility is with the hearer. So what is the interpretation again? We are thankful to Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 20 and 21. He gives us the interpretation. He says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But soon they don't have deep roots. They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Luke 8:13 is similar, but he adds this phrase, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The application of it then is that this is a shallow believer. The shallow soil represents a shallow believer. A believer, but a shallow believer. He makes no effort toward discipleship. I call him the spiritual slug. Because he just sits on the couch, and then when difficulty comes, he will just cast off his faith and go with the flow and adapt to whatever the situation is in the culture in which he lives. He produces no fruit, but he confuses the unsaved. Paul describes this type of hearer in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Not the teachers, the hearers have the itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So the shallow ground hearer has a responsibility when he hears the word. Even if it is challenging, even if it is difficult, he digs in. He applies himself to study. This is what he should do. Apply himself to study and to discipleship that he might grow. But the shallow ground here, he will say, oh, that preacher's preaching way above my head. Oh, that's too difficult for me. Oh, I don't get that. And he will just drift back to his previous level. He's challenged to grow. He's challenged to comprehend more. He's challenged to enter in more. But what does he do? Instead of responding to the challenge, he falls back to the previous level where he was comfortable. And that be the couch. Hence my terminology or my illustration of the spiritual slug. You know what I'm talking about? The spiritual slug. He's just comfortable to be just an old slug, you know. But God didn't intend us to live that way. He don't want us to be shallow believers. He wants us to dig in. He wants some word to come to us that will stimulate us, that will challenge us. Even if this makes us uncomfortable for a minute, it will stir us up. You know, we need that. That's how we grow. Do you realize that you don't grow by staying at the same level you are now? There has to be something move you higher. Sometimes it has to move you out of your comfort zone, don't it, to get you to grow. So, that's the shallow believer. Now, I pray that none of you are shallow believers. But if this does challenge you this morning, by all means, say, Lord, I realize the problem lies not with the word, not with the seed, but with my heart. Father, help me change my heart. Help me to get in a spirit of excitement that I will apply myself to spiritual growth and development. Now, let's move in to verse number 7. And this is the thorny soil hearer. Now, if you're sitting close to a thorny soil hearer, you might want to move a little bit because they might prick you. No, I'm kidding. Thorny soil hearer. Let's read what Jesus said about him. He said, other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Now here's the interpretation. And I'm going to take the interpretation from the Gospel of Luke, because I like it better. Luke 8:14. Here's what it says. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And get the last sentence of Luke's Gospel's account of this. And so they never grow into maturity. The thorny soil here then, I believe, represents the worldly Christian, the worldly believer. He hears the word, but he allows his love of the things of this world to cloud his vision, to drain him of his passion for Jesus, and thus he is unproductive. That is the thorny or worldly believer. But thank God, Jesus is a balanced teacher, and he gives us a positive note and a positive word and a positive example. And he says there's a fourth kind or a fourth type of hearer. This is what I pray for myself. This is what I pray for you this morning, is that you be this fourth type. And that is the good soil, or as one translation says, the fertile soil. Matthew 13 and verse 8. Still other seeds fell on the fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now every believer looking at that, that has the right condition of heart, good soil for the word to take root in, immediately says, I want to be 100-fold. I want to yield 100-fold on the seed that is sown in my life. That is the right attitude. Let's get the interpretation. I just gave it, didn't I? Let's look at Luke 8:15 though. He has another word to add to this, and I like this. Again, interpreting what he means, he says, and the seeds that fell on the good soil represent, now get this, honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently. Somebody say patiently. How many of you are real patient people? Can I see your hands? One hand. Oh, at least you're honest. Let me ask you this. Is patience a character trait of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. Yes, it is, church. We Westerners, we who live in the United States and the surrounding area, we are not patient people. We don't like to wait for anything. Hello? I mean, we go to a restaurant and we say, what's the waiting time? And if they said an hour, which I'm out of here, man. I'm hungry. I'll go to McDonald's if I have to. I ain't waiting no hour. That's me. I'm guilty. All right. We go to the store and we get in the line to check out. And how long, you know, if it's a very long line, what do? We either find a shorter line or we just lay it down and walk out, don't we? I do. I'm impatient, folks. I want it, and I want it now. Bless God. I just have a hard time being patient. And God has to teach me to wait upon Him and know that He's wiser than I am, and that He sees the end from the beginning, and that He's working in my life. He's working in the situation, and He's going to take care of it. That sounds great, Jim. I wish you would obey it, though. That's what the Holy Spirit says to me. But I have a hard time, and I confess I do, but I'm working on it. The older I get, the less dumber I get. And I tend to listen more to God and to the wisdom of the sages and the wise people and the Word of God who tell me that Rome wasn't built in a day, and God's still working in my life. And there are many things that it's going to take some time. Hello? You know, folks, sometimes it isn't just about you. Hello? I've tried to teach this to believers, but they just don't get it. People, you know, we think it's all about us. All about us. It may not be about you. What is happening in your life may be a testimony for somebody else, and you may not even realize it for months, weeks, years to come. You know? People watching your life, seeing how you deal with the things that are happening in your life. And you say, well, bless God, I'm supposed to be a victor. I'm supposed to overcome. A victor and an overcomer is one who patiently trusts God and waits on God and walks through it and doesn't get frustrated and angry and use those Christian cuss words that we've talked about, but stays with God and moves along the path of discipleship. Now, we won't go there this morning. We're not going to talk about Christian cussing, no matter how much I would like to talk about that on the roadways during the holiday seasons, but we won't. Application. This is the true believer. This is the true believer. This represents, this type of soil, the good soil, represents the true believer. His heart is tender toward the Lord. He hears the word. He receives the seed. He allows it to take root and grow. And guess what? The word, by its very nature, is going to produce, is it not? If it's allowed to take root, it's going to produce. That's the nature of the seed, the Word of God. Now, here's the key though. What will it produce? Well, first of all, it will produce character. Character is more important than charisma. Character is what you are. Character is what is illustrated in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is what He produces in us. He transforms us into the image or the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that's going to happen. The second thing that's going to happen is that whatever that word is, if it is for your prosperity, you receive it, you embrace it, you nurture it, it grows, it will produce prosperity. If it is for your anointing, you receive it, you nurture it, it will grow and produce greater anointings. If it is for direction in your life, you say, I want to hear and know the will of God. The more you embrace His Word that directs your life, the more you know how to walk. The more you know His will, the more you know where to go and what to do. But you have to say, you have to take the Word in that teaches you how to know that. You name it, whatever the Word is addressing, whatever its intent, whatever its message, if you will take it in to your heart, if you have a tender heart, if you have a pure heart, then the Word of God can take root there. But we can harden our hearts, can't we? And how does that happen? When we harden our heart, the Word cannot take root. Here's how the hardening of the heart happens. And many Christians have this spiritual condition, hardening of the heart. It can be a fatal disease for a Christian if it's not caught in time. Hardening of the heart can occur, for example, in a marriage when a husband and a wife are having difficulty getting along with each other, and they don't seek counsel, and they don't seek out prayer, they don't seek the Lord through prayer and a study of the Word. Their hearts can become hardened toward one another. Moses said that, the Bible says that the reason God gave Moses permission to allow divorce was because of the hardening of the heart. A couple can get to a point in their marriage where they're just at loggerheads, and home becomes a war zone. And that is not good. It's not good for the children. It's not good for the witness in the community. And so that's one way that hardening can happen. But another way that hardening can happen. Let's say a guy gets laid off or gets fired or terminated or whatever from his job. It can hurt to the point where he becomes bitter, becomes angry, becomes filled with resentment toward the people that laid him off or fired him, not realizing that the job was not his source to begin with, but God. God is the one who supplies our need, not the job. And so, unknowingly, he's directing his resentment and anger toward people or a company, but in reality, he's saying, God, you failed me. Church, you got to watch this. This is how the subtleness of the enemy can work in our lives without us realizing it, and we begin to harden our heart. We can harden our heart as we grow older. We can get to the point where we say, you know what? Boy, life just has been miserable. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, old, gripey people didn't get that way overnight. They spent years working on it. Hello? Folks, if you find yourself becoming more gripey as you get older, it's not because of your age. It's because of the hardening of your heart. Let the Lord, let the Holy Spirit melt your heart. You say, Father God, I don't want my heart to be hardened toward you and toward other people. Please help me. I want a tender heart. What is it that the Bible says that God loves? A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. But a hard heart, He just can't get through to it. Have you ever met someone, a believer, who because of trials, tribulations, different things, have allowed their heart to become hard? It is a sad, sad thing. The condition then of the good soil even, in terms of what it produces, 30, 60, 100, is up to us. We can all be hundredfold. Maybe not overnight, but eventually. We can be very, very productive, fruitful for God and His kingdom if we allow Him to work on our heart. Now, this is what Jesus says at the end of that parable in Matthew. He says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Hence, you see where I got my title, Can You Hear Me Now? One translator paraphrased that this way. He said, you have ears. In other words, it's obvious to everyone you've got two of these. But do you hear? It is not, I do not make the assumption this morning that just because you got a pair of these, you are hearing me. Because let me just give you a test. Right here this morning, even as I preached, and I haven't preached very long, how many of you went shopping? How many of you went fishing? How many of you went to the store? How many of you thought about your job and the responsibilities? And how many of you thought about family? And how long did you stay there? How much of what I said did you miss? I have driven down the road in a daze. This is a bad confession, but it's true. I have driven down the road in a daze and not realized what I had passed on the way. Don't raise your hands if you've done that. I have driven for miles and suddenly come to myself and realized, wow, I was so deep in thought that I wasn't paying attention. Now, I kept it between the ditches, but truthfully, my mind was not on my driving. And folks, I think it's that my... Confession is good, and so we just might as well go ahead and confess some more. Wives, let me talk to you a minute. I can talk to all of you, really, but this is a man thing. How many times, wives, have you been talking to your husband, and you almost want to go, hello, anybody there? You know, my wife will be talking to me sometimes, and I'll be so deep in thought that my ears, yeah, they're there. And they are functioning. They really are. But it's not getting in here. Am I listening? Am I understanding? See, we have the responsibility not only to listen, but to understand. Just because you have two ears this morning, I am not guaranteed that this message is getting down in here, where it must get to in order to do the work. Matthew 13:10, the disciples said to Jesus, "Why do you use parables?" Jesus, you know, privately afterward, they ask him, "Why are you talking to the people in parables? They don't get this." I've had people say to me, some shallow Christians, "Pastor, you've got to preach more easier messages that people can understand." The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, people are not getting this." What do you think Jesus said? Did he say to them, "Well, then I will preach first grade level so everybody can get it"? Did he do that? Listen to what he said. This is good. Folks, believers have a responsibility to grow up and mature. And the preacher, the pastor, that allows them to stay on an elementary level is doing them a disservice. Okay? You might as well know the truth. You're going to find it out sooner or later. So I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." He said, "You apostles, you disciples, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. You are giving, I am giving you a special ability to understand this. I am giving you further instruction so that you can understand this. But others, no." Why? Jesus, why would you do that? Why would you purposely make it difficult for the hearers out there? That don't sound... My, that's not a good marketing strategy, Jesus. Well, was Jesus trying to market the gospel or preach the gospel? Ah, there is a difference. And so, what did he do? Listen what he says. "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge." Wow! So those who listen, are you listening? More understanding will be given. The shallow, the thorny, and the hard-hearted won't get it. They won't even try. Anything that challenges them or that confronts them, they'll fall away from. They'll run from. But for those who are not listening, oh, now here's the downside of it. You spiritual slugs that are listening out there in radio land. You worldly Christians that are so caught up in your cars and your boats and your houses and your vacations and how much money you made last year and yada, 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 yada. You just really inspire me. You that are hard-hearted, listen to what Jesus says. This is Jesus' word. This is not Jim. I don't know that I could preach this hard. I don't know that I could preach this hard. I don't know that the majority of Christendom in America could take the preaching of Jesus. He's tough. Yet you know what? He was loved. The lost flocked to him. But the religious people had a problem with him. Listen to this. He says, "For those who are not listening..." Can you hear me now? "For those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use parables." Wow! You see how serious this is. I cannot just stay where I am. I am challenged by Jesus to grow. Move on. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the process of discipleship, isn't it? So the person you observe that you've known for years that was a spiritual slug or a worldly believer or a hard-hearted person. You maybe been away from them for a few years and then you get reacquainted with them and you notice the person that you've known in the past, and when you knew them, you kind of felt like they weren't serious about growing in the Lord. You noted they were kind of hard-hearted. They were a spiritual slob, as a spiritual slug would be. That they were worldly. Years later, you meet them again and you discover that they have digressed. Even what spiritual growth and understanding they had when you knew them at first, they now have even lost. That is a spiritual principle that Jesus laid down here. Folks, you are either going forward or you are going backward. There is no standing still in discipleship and spiritual growth. That is why God allows things to happen in our lives that forces us to Him. Forces us to call on Him. Forces us to depend on Him so that we may grow. As badly as we all dislike confrontation or dispute or difficulty or deprivation or change, the fact remains, God doesn't intend for everything to continue business as usual. He intends, you're going to love me, but He intends to cause you trouble. He really does. Because you're not going to move until you have difficulty. You're going to sit and soak and stink. But God will stir the pot and He will move you in one direction or the other. Jesus said, I'll give it to you, and if you apply yourself and learn, you will grow. But if you harden your heart against what I'm trying to teach you and do in your life, you're going to go backwards. Now friends, I have been put on a shelf. In my Christian experience, I have been put on a shelf because I was so stubborn I wouldn't get it. Now none of you, no. You are very spiritual people and none of you would ever have this condition in your life. But I have. And I want to tell you something. God will do that. When you don't respond, you don't listen, you harden your heart, and you're just so pig-headed that you think you've got it all figured out, He will put you on a shelf and He will let you sit there until you come around, soften your heart, and say, Lord, I'm listening again. I'm listening again. I'm ready to move now. Then something will happen in your life. Which are you then? Can you hear me now? What type of hearer are you? Are you the footpath? Are you an unsaved person? I pray you haven't hardened your heart. Are you a shallow person? Are you a thorny person? In other words, the condition of your heart. Is it shallow? Is it thorny? Or is it good? Do you listen, understand, and produce? Here is the good news, and this is the final note. You and you alone can change your heart. I can't change your heart. God can't change your heart. That is wonderfully illustrated in the account of Pharaoh. When Moses was sent to bring the children out of Israel, how many times did God give Pharaoh an opportunity to change his heart? But with every succeeding miracle that Moses did, Pharaoh's heart just became harder and harder. I dare say that some of us this morning, God's Holy Spirit has set up situations to allow us to soften our heart, but instead we harden our heart. Listen, church, it is a terminal condition. Don't allow your heart to become hard. You can change it. You and you alone can change it. No one else can do it. I can't do it. God can't do it. No one can. as you have analyzed your own life in light of the Word of God that I've shared with you this morning, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. I'm going to ask you to check yourself. This is the beginning of a new year. A new heart for a fresh start. How about it? Have you been listening? Have you been responsive? Have you applied yourself to understanding? Would you like to start 2010? I'm still having difficulty understanding just exactly how to say that. But would you like to begin 2010 a fresh start with a clean heart, a tender heart that's open to God, responsive to God? How many of us here this morning would be willing to say to God, God, last year was hard. Last year was tough. I mean, I read it on Facebook left and right. People saying, I am glad that year is over. Close 2009. Glad that's done. But we want to look forward to this year with anticipation and excitement and hope, don't we? How many of us here this morning will say to God, God, examine my heart. You know, we do this when we take communion. Examine my heart. And Lord, if you sense any waywardness, any rebellion, any hardness there, please, please, Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. I'm going to change. My heart's going to be soft and tender and pliable toward you this year. I make that resolution. I can do that. I can determine the condition of my heart. I guess we could sum it up in this one phrase. For 2010 or 2010, I am going to be a better hearer. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be a better listener in 2010. Would you stand with me? Father, it's awesome to stand here on January the 10th. And one part of me looks forward to 2010 and says, what a great year. Another part of me says, wow, I sure hope it ain't like 2009. Father, we must rally all of our resources and our intellect and our emotions and say, God, I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to believe you that 2010 is going to be the best year of my life. May not be the easiest, but it's going to be the best because I am going to pay attention to my heart and how I hear your word. I'm going to become an even better hearer, an even better listener. Father, I pray that over everyone here. I speak that over everyone here. Our hearing improves even more in 2010. Whether it be for yourself or for someone else now, and so that opens the door for you to raise your hand. But you know of a situation or a circumstance in a person's life that has obviously been allowed by God, but they're not responding to it appropriately. You sense that they are hardening their heart. And your heart goes out to them. Whether it's for you or someone else, we don't know. But this touches you this morning, and you would like us to pray with you for this person, this situation. Right now, raise your hand to God. Father God, many hands went up in this auditorium, and mine is up as well. Father, we're believing you to soften hearts, to show people that they can change their heart. They can soften their heart. Lord, help us. Help us not to just let the word fly over our heads, but help us to discipline ourselves to listen and to make every effort to understand what your word says and what your spirit's saying, that we might be productive, fruitful Christians, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we might help others to see this truth. They can change their heart. People say, "Oh, but you don't know what has happened to me." Father God, I know life can be cruel. And I know that sometimes people live in the past. But God, there's a bright future with Jesus. And they can change their heart. Help us to love them and reach out to them. In Jesus' name.